reading to you from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and with the 6th verse. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 54 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and of course, you know, I've been sharing Christ ever since. I've had some wonderful jobs since I've been a Christian. I've been the director of 3 rescue missions. I pastored 2 churches. I've been in full-time evangelism for years. I've been on radio for about 40 different years altogether. And I tell you right now, it's a joy. So if you're a Christian, you find out what God wants you to do, and I'll tell you, he'll bless your socks. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers. Sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to speak on the greatest joy God gives his children. You know that I've been on KPOF for the past 31 years, and believe it or not, some of you have listened to me that long. Well, then you must know what gives this preacher the most joy: soul winning, witnessing, and going to prison. Now, I'm not going to make the mistake of telling you that I am a great preacher or teacher, but I will tell you that telling people about Jesus should be the most important thing in every Christian's life. I have found laymen and laywomen to be as good as soul winners as any preacher in the world. Preachers meet certain kinds of people, but lay people get from every walk of life. You well might be the only Bible a lost man or woman will see. Living your life for Jesus is not easy, and those who say that it is are all wet. Living for Christ is hard, it's tedious, especially if you're trying to do it in the flesh. I have been to church services that was all flesh and no spirit. What a tragedy. That really is the job of the pastor and his church staff, to lead laymen and laywomen to do personal evangelism. I recall preaching at a church in Redlands, California, over 50 years ago. I was told that the pastor was one of the greatest soul winners in our association. The pastor was gone that Sunday, and I was filling in for him. I spoke on the subject of soul winning, and at the end of the message, I urged those who would like to surrender their lives, become soul winners for Christ, please come forward. Guess who the very first person, woman down the aisle, was? The pastor's wife, along with many other people. Here their pastor was a great soul winner, but he was doing his church a disservice by not teaching others to do the same. Many years ago, a missionary from China came home after many years ministering in the Orient. He was very successful, and he was preaching in this large congregation. He said, "The greatest mistake of my life was not teaching the nationals soul winning. I did it, but I never taught them how," and how right he was. Now, does the Bible give us instructions how to become a soul winner? It sure does. You bet your life it does. Number 1, we must be born again ourselves. Number two, Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So to be a good soul winner, you must be sold out to Jesus. It tells us in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So even in the Old Testament, it tells us to be wise, and we'll be soul winners. Do you want to wear a radiant crown? Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine in the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and forever. There was a famous medical doctor whose last name was Wilson. If he did not introduce a soul to Christ every day, he felt cheated. Besides healing people with medicine, he felt talking to a person about where they would spend eternity was actually the most important, and he was right. I have told you over and over, the man that introduced me to Christ, Reverend Tom Baird, was a soul winner personified. As I've told you time and time again, I spoke to 6 different preachers while I was an alcoholic. None of them told me about Christ. And let's face it, folks, that is all an alcoholic needs, is Christ, not religion. Now, when a person is a soul winner, God gives you a spirit of sensitivity. Reverend Baird had that spirit. Here was a young man sitting in his living room at 3 a.m., crying his heart out, telling a preacher that he was going to take his life. Yes, and tears were streaming down his face as I was telling my sad story of woe. All the time, Reverend Baird was waiting for me to finish so that he could tell me the solution to my problem. He never once discussed the evils of alcohol. He knew that I knew all that, but he knew that I did not have the answer to my problem. And he preached unto me Jesus, just like Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friends, that's why it's so important that you have a clear-cut salvation experience. You have to have a changed heart before you can tell someone else how they can have one. This is what bothers me about AA. Many of these guys and gals will tell you the gruesome and nasty things they did before they came to AA. One night I was to speak at an AA meeting in Salvation Army. I took a man and woman with me. This guy, not the one who was with me, got up and was using 4-letter words talking about all the women he had over the years and bragging how much he could drink. Otherwise, he was bragging and boasting about his sin. We got up and left. The man in charge should have called that guy down for his filthy mouth. Have you ever watched on TV the homosexuals and lesbians prating up and down the street saying, we're gay and we're proud of it? I don't recall ever seeing a bunch of alcoholics doing that or womanizers. Listen, I don't hate homosexuals or lesbians, but if they read the Bible, they would know it is not us who disapproves of their sin. It is Almighty God. They don't have to do what they're doing. God did not make them sexual deviants. They chose that lifestyle. I must warn you, though, if you decide that you want to become a soul winner for Jesus, you will have to sacrifice personal rights and privileges. And I read in 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, that I might gain those under the law. Lawkeepers need to learn about the grace of God. I'm not getting to heaven because of the law. I'm getting there because I've been saved by grace. It tells us in James 5:20, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. What could be worse than being on the road to hell tonight? Lead that soul to Christ and you will hide a multitude of sins. What sent Jesus to the cross? Well, I'll tell you. Your sins and mine. That's why sin is so terrible. I used to be afraid to try to lead a soul to Christ because I didn't know much about the Bible. But I was afraid the sinner would ask me a question that I could not answer. Listen, God tells us that He will give us the words we need in the hour that we need it. If a person asks you a question, just say, well, I really don't know the answer to it, but I'll tell you one thing, I'll find the answer for it. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you how to be saved and how to get to heaven. When you introduce a soul to Christ, you snatch people from the fire. Jude 23, another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire first, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Years ago, I was orderly in a rest home while I was pastoring in a church in Oregon. One night, I was witness to an elderly lady and said, Cecil, I just got out of surgery last week. When they put me under the anesthetic, I found myself in a room filled with flames. And she said, I tried to outrun those flames, but I couldn't. What do you think that means? Well, I said, if you're not saved, God's trying to get your attention. Sure enough, she was not saved. One day on my radio broadcast in KRID in the state of Washington, a man called and said he'd like me to pay a visit to his home. One day my wife and I was in town, so I said, let's pay this listener a visit. When we got to his house, we were invited in, and here was eight men sitting in a circle with a Book of Mormons on their lap. The very first thing they did was start telling me about the Book of Mormon. They said it was an extension of the Bible. I said, men, I did not come here to talk about your religion or mine. I came to talk about Jesus. Their baptism was very important to them. My baptism is very important to me, but not as salvation, but only as an act of obedience. His wife said, Cecil, there's a poem that God gave me one night, and about my husband. She said, could you interpret it? I said, well, God was telling you that your husband was lost on the road to hell. He got very upset. A few weeks later, the man was in the hospital with cancer of the throat. He couldn't talk. He was in an oxygen tent. I took him by the hand and told him, you can't talk. I will ask you yes or no questions. And for yes, you squeeze my hand twice. For no, you squeeze my hand once. I asked him if he was going to heaven when he died, and he squeezed my hand once. I said, would you like me to tell you how to be saved? And he squeezed my hand twice. I shared Christ with him and asked him if he was ready to pray the sinner's prayer. And he squeezed my hand twice. So I led him in the sinner's prayer, and he received Christ as his personal Savior. What did Jude say? Another saved from fear, pulling him out of the fire. His Mormon religion could not get him into heaven, but Jesus could. I was preaching on the West Slope. When I got home, I got a call from a pastor, and he said, Cecil, one of our members has a brother dying with cancer in the Veterans Hospital in Denver. He said they were afraid to witness to him. Now they want him saved before he dies. When I was walking down the hall to his room, I heard this terrible scream, and it came from a man dying of throat cancer. I walked in and put my hand over his hand, said, my name is Cecil Moe, and I'm a minister. Your family's concerned about you, and they want me to pay you a visit. He also could not talk. So again, we use squeezing hands as a way to share each other. As I shared Christ with this man, he too had been an alcoholic. I noticed a tear coming down his cheek. I also asked him if he knew where he was going when he died, and he squeezed my hand, no. I shared quickly my testimony, and then I asked him if he'd like to accept Christ, and he squeezed my hand real hard. Oh, friends, I led him in a sinner's prayer. And when I read the 14th chapter of Gospel of John, let not your heart be troubled. He then prayed and asked the Lord to ease his pain and give him the blessed assurance that he was heaven bound when he died. They said he died in perfect peace. Supposing I would have not went to his bedside. You say, well, God would send someone else. But what if they would not go? Christians, God has someone for you and for me to tell about Jesus, and he expects us to do so. Now, there is a joy in soul winning, and I read in Psalms 51, 12 and 13, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee." David had committed terrible sin of adultery. He was devastated over his past sin, and God's Holy Spirit convicted him that he should repent. No, he did not lose his salvation, but he sure lost his walk with the Lord. When David prayed his prayer, God forgave and restored the joy of his salvation. Joy comes from bringing in the sheaves, and I read in a 126th Psalm, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him." Oh, friends, I love that old song, "Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we'll all come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." There's a great joy in finding lost sheep in Luke 15:6. "And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice for me, for I found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 199 just persons which need no repentance." Friends, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Just before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "I have been with you, training you to win the world. Now go fish." That's a paraphrase from Cecil Moore, but that's exactly what it meant. Now there's a sower and the reaper, John 4:36. "And he that reapeth receiveth the wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." I've had so many wonderful people have called me and said, "Cecil, my son is lost or my uncle's jail. Will you go try and lead them to Christ?" Without those wonderful helpers, I'd have never met those people. Souls won are a crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2nd chapter 3rd, the 19th verse. For what is our joy, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are glory and joy. Let me ask you. This is an embarrassing question, but I'm going to ask you. Have you ever introduced a lost soul to Christ? Have you ever witnessed for the Lord? If you answer these questions, you need to lead. I need to lead you in a prayer of commitment with God's help. You can be a soul winner. Your education is not important. Your looks are not important. Whether you're black or white is not important. Whether you're rich or poor is not important. But the question is, are you available? Friends, you know what? I'm sorry, but my voice is beginning to play out on me, so I just think I'd better close early tonight. But let me help you who have never introduced a soul to Christ. Let me help you pray this prayer commitment. Father, Cecil's right. I've never led a soul to Christ. I've never witnessed to the lost. Tonight, Lord, I commit, I'm making a full, complete commitment for you to help me to surrender my life, that you might use me in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Maybe tonight you say, "Well, Cecil, I'm not even born again." Well, if you're not born again, the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now, and he wants to come into your heart and give you new life. Well, listen to me. If you have that tugging at your heart tonight and you want to trust Jesus, bow your head with me and repeat this sinner's prayer. Don't you repeat it unless you don't mean it, unless you don't mean it. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life, and tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't do that. And I don't care where you go to church, but boy, howdy, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Would you give me a call? 303-471-8534. If you can't afford the call, call collect. I'll accept it, okay?
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes and often slipped. Just common flesh and bone. The look of love was on his face, thorns on his head. Blood was on that scarlet robe, hands tainted crimson red. Oh, his eyes were on the crowd that day. Ahead in time, 'cause when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he
folks, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Noe. Thank you so much for listening. Please continue to pray for our health, my wife and I, that we can continue our ministry in prisons and also in the rescue missions and also our tape ministry. I really appreciate you people. Well, fellas, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.